then, is that all right, Dean? Yep, okay. Good. Then, the attendance question this evening will be, what is your favorite GAC dessert?
Miller?
I would have to say Crossgrounds. That's it.
I don't know. I'll just say just any bar.
I don't know what they're called, like carmelita or something like that, like the cookie bars with caramel and chocolate on them.
I'm not sure what it's called. It's like an earthquake cake with like chocolate and more chocolate.
It's definitely a tie between pumpkin bars and the chocolate Tres Leches.
Just the regular Tres Leches cake.
The birthday cakes
that
your parents
do. Karen? Gotta go outside the box here. I'm not sure if the calf makes it, but. Fine, I'll just go with Twix bar, whatever.
Double cheeseburger with bacon.
Frosty rolls, probably.
Apple cinnamon muffins.
They're called pizza bars, but it's like, it has like caramel and like chocolate and then like little M&M's on top.
And yeah, they're pretty good.
Yeah, what he said.
Definitely the classic key lime pie.
The pumpkin bars with cream cheese frosting.
Desserts? From the calf. That one time when I took like 8 cheesecake slices and then ate them all. It was a great time. All kinds of varieties.
They never have it anymore, but the pumpkin cheesecake. Ooh.
Wagner?
Special favorites.
Johnson?
Also cheesecake.
All right. anybody here from the community who wishes to comment? Community comment. Community comment. Community comment. Seeing none, we'll move on to old business.
Point of personal privilege, we make the font slightly larger. I have glasses on, guys. It's still. I brought my glasses.
Well, I think at this point we want the resolution, right?
Yeah. That works.
So,
that's good.
So, we will now move on to the resolution that is coming out of both the special subcommittee within cabinet and the finance committee. I will turn it over to Co-President Goldstein.
Yeah, so kind of some background. First, I want to welcome Billy Bridges to this meeting. They're the organization which we're discussing. For some background on their relationship with Senate. 3 years ago, I believe it would be, they split off from Senate on kind of a portion of time to see if they could receive a portion of student activity fee, similar to how Student Senate and CAB received their funds. And so they were, through a resolution, allocated 4.5% of the student activity fee funds to operate their conference. And the decision came out of basically a mismatch in timeline. So Senate at the time felt that they couldn't fully meet the needs of this organization, and so decided to try out this new method of funding for the next 3 years. We are now in that third year, at which point we're supposed to be reviewing that process. So as Matt mentioned, there were two different committees that kind of went through this process and came up with the ideas behind this resolution. Those committees were the Finance Committee, as approved by this body, and also a subcommittee of cabinet, which consisted of the co-presidents, the speaker, and the two heads of the Finance Committee. And we sat down with the group, went through numbers, all that type of stuff, looked at the needs of the group, where they hope to grow to, and what they need, basically, and came up with this resolution. And basically, the idea behind the resolution is that Senate will be not only continuing the practice of giving them 4.5%, but also increasing the amount they receive by 2%. However, that 2% increase is being split between Student Senate and the Campus Activities Board. So that would be a 1% increase from our funds, or 1% increase to them that would be coming from our portion of the student activity fee. So that's kind of the brief overview. It's pulled up right now, so if you want to read through it, just kind of seeing what it says, and then I believe we'll be turning it over to the organization to talk about what exactly their group tries to do and where they're at.
I think in addition to that, we hope to also separate from Student Senate, so we won't have to go through this three-year review process continually. One of the reasons that we are asking for that is we feel we have an intense amount of oversight from the finance office, from alumni engagement, from marketing, from we have a faculty advisor and a staff advisor that come to each of the weekly exec board meetings. So kind of things like that kind of is why we're also asking for separation from Senate.
Yeah. And then just a little bit about Building Bridges. I know there are some first-year senators. So what we do is we put on a one-day conference in the spring. This year it's on March 7th on a different social justice topic every year. And then we try to encourage a conversation on campus throughout the year, not just in that one day. So we had a pre-event a couple weeks ago that was pretty well attended, called The Evolution of Rape. This year our conference is focusing on rape culture. And so we try to encourage conversation about a different social justice topic all year long, and then it kind of culminates in March by having a major conference which includes two keynote speakers that are professionals in the field of whatever we're focusing the conference on. And then 5 to 7 workshop speakers, so smaller speakers that happen. Traditionally, it's been in the campus center, in this room, in the banquet rooms, so more specific things within the topic. And then an action piece that happens in BEC, which is more of an interactive walkthrough with the topic, so you kind of get a different understanding of the topic than you would just sitting down and having somebody lecture at you. So that's kind of what we aim to do. There's about 25 people who participate, all students who participate all year long. We meet once a week with our full committee, and then our full committee consists of three smaller committees that each plan a different aspect of the conference.
How would you like to add?
Yeah, I would just add that this three-year plan that Building Bridges has been on currently, the part of the reasoning behind separating for those 3 years was so that Senate could take a look at this now, as we are doing, to decide whether or not Building Bridges have been using the funds that we have been receiving from Student Senate in a good way, in a responsible way, and in a way that continues to really advertise the name of the college and continues to educate our Gustavus community, and basically to look at that now and determine whether or not we've met that objective. And if we did meet that objective, that we would separate from Student Senate, the Student Senate financial review process, both annual and every 3 years. To be more like CAB, as was stated before, which would give us a lot more flexibility to start planning our conference earlier in the year, to have more security in what our budget is going to be year to year, so that we can go out and find speakers prior to when we have been able to in the past and currently. And it would also save you all a lot of time. And I would argue, as would my fellow students here, and I hope many of you, that we have met that objective. That's what I'd like to add.
Before I open the floor, I would just like to further kind of elaborate on what the thought process, or what were some of the big sticking points for each, and not sticking points, but what were some of the big conversation topics within the subcommittee and the finance committee. So we said, what is our motivation to continue this separation? And we see it as the way our finance process is set up simply does not work for this organization. And so, from our understanding, co-chairs are selected in late spring and then spend months coming together and trying to figure out a topic for the conference. And so by the middle of the summer, they've hopefully selected a topic. To come in at the end of spring with requests for a speaker just doesn't work for them. And with this ability to start planning sooner, with the types of speakers that they're looking at and the level of kind of notoriety with each speaker, those speakers plan almost a year in advance. And so by giving them stability, accountability in what they know they will be receiving from the student activity fees, they'll be better able to achieve their purpose to be a well-supported student organization. I think that it is one of our main charges to best support student organizations, and that this actually reflects that charge. And so we spent a great deal of time reviewing all of the financial decisions, looking at all the material, and knowing how many people observe and advise their financial process. We have no concerns as far as how the money will be spent. We think I just also want to say that the increase has already been voted on and formally approved by the Campus Activities Board, and so they are fully in support of this decision as well, and the increase. So I think, unless you have anything else.
The last thing is just kind of a quick note on the actual student activity fee, because we throw that term around a lot, but I don't think people really understand it that well. Each student pays a portion of funds that goes to kind of two major things. The first would be the readership program. So of those funds, I believe it's $20 is taken off, and that goes straight to the readership program. And then the remaining amount of those funds are what we commonly what we commonly refer to as the student activity fee. And that's right now split up between CAB, Student Senate, and Building Bridges. And so when we're putting the term around, that's what it's referring to. It's that $200-something that you pay at the start of the fall semester, and that's kind of what we're referring to.
So I think with that, I will then open the floor for discussion.
Just a quick question. So if we approve this resolution, we won't be dealing with any of their finances. Like they'll be completely
they'll be
On their own.
They'll be as independent as Katniss. So.
Perfect. Okay, thank you.
Senator Fair.
Just kind of point of information. You may have already, I guess, answered this. But as in the 1%, would that be 1% of our contingency just as a student senate? Or
the 1% is, so, of the student activity fee, it's currently 49.5% goes to senate, and I think 46.5% goes to CAB, or 46. And it's 46% goes to CAB, and 44.5% goes to building bridges. And so the 1% increase would be, we would go down to 48.5%, CAB would go down to 45%, and they would receive 6.5%. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, sorry.
Central Woodland.
I have a question for building bridges. How do you think that the budget increase will help improve the conference?
That's a really great question. Currently, what we receive from Senate doesn't fully cover the expense of our keynote speakers. And as we said, we have 2 keynote speakers and 5 to 7 workshop speakers. So we aren't fully able to cover the cost of the keynote speakers from this class. That means we have to find funding in other ways. If we could cover that keynote speaker cost, then we can expand our budget in other ways, such as paying for advertising. This is not only a campus event, it's also a community event. We do a lot of putting up posters like in the cities and other places, connecting with organizations that are interested in our topics, connecting with our sister colleges to get students here, just because it's such a great experience to be able to be a part of. So that increased funds would go towards our keynote speakers, really.
And we could raise sort of the caliber of the speakers that we bring in people who are even more experts in their field, have a little bit more competition with other conferences. So, for example, there's a conference happening the same weekend in New York on a similar topic to what we're focusing on this year, and we had looked at some of those speakers, so if we had an increased budget to spend on those speakers, we might be able to get people who are, a little more nationally known.
So I'm going to take a stab at this one as well. I'll cover some of the same points, but I got a little list here. So the first certainly is that it would help us pay for our keynote speakers. As was said, the money that we're currently speaking or receiving from Senate just doesn't cut it for those 2 large speakers that we have, which means that we're also taking funds from elsewhere to not only pay for those speakers, but also for all of our workshops, all of our work action piece, all of our printing costs, all of our advertising, and any pre-events that we do. So an increase from Senate would at least help us pay for those 2 large keynotes who are the 2 main draws of the conference. Additionally, I believe one of you touched briefly on this, but the 5 to 7 workshops that we have every year are kind of limited to the very local area. A lot of times they come from Mankato, a lot of times they come from Minneapolis. We're not really able to pay them for their time. We're not able to pay for any sort of long-distance transportation. Sometimes we've been lucky. Last year we had somebody fly in from Quebec for a workshop presentation, but other than that, if we had a conference topic that would be more suited for people who maybe had expertise on the East Coast or the West Coast or somewhere that wasn't Minnesota or the 5-state area, we would more or less be out of luck there.
We could then make it so, there's name recognition with the 2 keynotes. If we have name recognition with the workshop speakers as well, or a little more name recognition anyways, then people are more willing to say, yes, this is willing to travel 2 to 3 hours to go to this conference and hear these people, because I know I'm going to hear at least 3 really great speakers instead of, 1 that I know I'm absolutely going to love and others that I guess I'll find out if I like later. It's a bigger draw.
Yep, I don't know how many of you have had the opportunity to go through one of our action pieces at our conference, but that is something that is also very unique to the Building Bridges Conference. It is not typical at all to go to an academic conference where afterwards there's also a portion put on by students, a lot of times student actors, that takes you through kind of an interactive walkthrough of learning about whatever topic that is being talked about. And a lot of times that's where people have some of the largest revelations, the comeaways from the conference. In the past, our Action Piece team has been very limited with funds. They've had just $100 or $200, not a lot to work with. So more money would also allow them to expand their creativity and expand what they're able to do with that portion of the conference. And then finally, also pre-events. We mentioned that this isn't just a one-day conference. It's also a conversation that takes place throughout the year. I think that this year's conference is a case in point in that. Our title this year is Recognizing Rape Culture, or Hidden in Plain Sight, Recognizing and Rejecting Rape Culture. And chances are that almost all of you have seen something to do with that topic going on campus. Now, not all of that is building bridges, but we're in conversation with most of the other groups that are working on that and helping them to put on events. We had a pre-event in Alumni Hall a few weeks ago that packed it. It was standing room only. It went very well. We're going to continue to do things like that throughout the year. And additional funds would allow us to expand that and to expand beyond just having faculty do a faculty panel for pre-events, which has gone really great for us and it's worked really well. But maybe we could have a speaker come in from outside. These are just all different ways that we plan and hope to grow with additional funds from SEM.
Do I still have the floor?
Yes.
Do you guys still see yourselves seeking the same amount of outside funding so you can keep expanding the conference?
Yes. I mean, not like we're going to still receive the same outside funding that we kind of receive year to year.
Mm-hmm.
But right now we've been, or you know, in the past couple of years, we've been really limited in our budget. We've used up pretty much all of that dollar amount in just trying to get the keynotes and maintain the level of prestige that we have. So with these additional funds, we can then keep growing our conference. We are a signature event. We're not like Nobel, but as Glenn Lloyd says in Alumni Relations, you know, why not dream? Why not think about that? We're not just thinking about, this is the 20th year. We're not just thinking about the 20th year or the 25th year. We're thinking about the 30th year, you know, and et cetera, as much as you can be thinking about that.
And some of our outside funding depends on the topic. So we might, if we have a topic that aligns with, you know, one department of the college or an outside organization, they might choose to donate that year. But we can't depend on those funds for the next year because, you know, the topic changes every year, so it might not align with that outside organization.
This increase would kind of cut down on the additional outside fundraising we have to do in addition to the, you know, 5 to 10 meetings Lee and Kyle are in a week, the perhaps 3 meetings I attend as an exec board member a week. You know, there's just a lot of time commitment in addition to school and perhaps a student job and et cetera. So it would kind of relieve that burden from us a little bit.
Thank you.
Chair Brooks.
Lily touched on it, but I think it's important that this body recognizes that it is Building Bridges' 20th anniversary. That's a really big feat for a new student-led organization and conference that is the only that's completely led student conference. And I also think it's important because it holds up our pillar of justice. So I think it's important to body recognize that as well.
Senator Sobek.
All right, not to question anything that Building Bridges has done because I think they've done everything that they've set out to do and they should be, you know, that's great. But I'm just curious as to what, right now, if 6.5% of the student activity fee went, what is 6.5% of the student activity fee this year? Because I'm only going to ask questions about what things are worth right now. So
it'd take, 6.5 of $167 times 2,450 students. 6.5% of $167.
We think roughly in the neighborhood of 25 to 27 thousand.
Okay.
Where
so
they're currently receiving roughly 20,000.
Okay, so this isn't, okay, 26,000. So it's not a significant decrease to our overall senatorial budget, which was my first concern. It's, you know, we just shelled out $15,000 for other student orgs. I think that this 1% that we'd be relinquishing is well within the aims of the student body. I don't see any reason why anyone would vote against this. Building Bridges has been doing a fantastic job. The money isn't really an issue in this. Like, it's not like they're asking for $150,000. The only issue that I do have is that, if I remember correctly,
Building Bridges is a member of DLC, is it not?
We don't receive funds from DLC.
Never mind. I just
so we are represented on DLC, but not DLC is not just a body for funds. It also does a lot of on-campus work with other kind of social justice issues. So I just like to recognize that.
Yep. I yield.
Stephen French.
Previous speakers hit a lot of my points. I think it's important. I think the main reason we do, the reason we have our finance process the way we do is so that somebody representing the students has a hand in the way student money is being spent. That's kind of the point. I just wanted to assure this body, I didn't know a lot about Building Bridges before I got involved with this, but having looked at it as the subcommittee and then again with finance, they have better oversight than we could hope to give them in Senate. There are professional staff members whose job it is to look over their shoulder, make sure they're spending our money the right way. And so I think, if anything, it would be worse for us to continue to try to micromanage what they're doing with our money, because we can't do as good a job as people like Pearl, people in D Center, in the finance office are already doing. So I think we're not really giving this money. I think people have expressed to me that they don't want to just throw this money into the wind for Building Bridges to spend willy-nilly, and I just want to reassure everyone that that's not what's going to happen if we do pass this resolution. I yield.
Ombudswoman Stetson.
I have a question for Building Bridges. As a first-year student who the only experience I've had with Building Bridges so far is going to that Evolution of Race panel that you put on, what would you say that in previous years the impact of Building Bridges over, like, I know like 20 years is a long time to look at it, but what do you think the impact it's had on, like, the students and, like, the community?
I'll start. I'll just do a couple anecdotes. I mean, it's hard to quantify that. Two anecdotes would be that two of the people who were involved in Building Bridges last year have gone on to careers with that topic. So it was environmental justice. One woman, Anna McDevitt, is currently working in Colorado, organizing around climate change full time. Another woman, Annalise Doublestein, is her last name, went and worked for a group called the Earth Guardians that actually visited this conference. So she found a job through this conference, going on to work with these young activists, Native American teens and preteens, who were also organizing around climate change. Also, there's a lot more stories like that, and that's just from within our committee. So it certainly changes the lives and changes the direction of the lives of people that are involved, such as us and our other team members. I also believe that it does facilitate a large enough conversation within people that attend the conference that it also makes an impact. The Building Bridges Conference is starting to get some outside name recognition. I worked within Senator Klobuchar's office this past summer, and some people had actually heard of the conference. So, yeah, if you want to take a stab at it.
The other day, this is also an anecdote, the other day, I don't know if any of you guys know Naweed, he's studying abroad right now, but he posted something about mass incarceration, some video he saw on YouTube, and that was the conference 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and so just that stayed with him long enough. So I think it gives a lot of people a base knowledge, at least, about the topic, especially on campus, just being around it, you know, hearing little tidbits. So I think that's just really useful. I mean, we're here to acquire knowledge, and so maybe people don't go out and put it to practice in their everyday lives, you know, every second, but they're thinking about it. It's another thing they know about, another awareness they have of the world.
Yeah, and I would add, I think a lot of times we talk about the Gustavus bubble. People kind of feel like, you know, it's hard to be really aware of what's going on outside the world when we have papers and tests and everything that's going on campus and feel a little isolated being in a rural town. So I think that Building Bridges provides the opportunity to students to kind of engage with something that they wouldn't normally be confronted with. I mean, maybe this topic this year is something that's a little more, hits a little more close to home and is a little more pertinent to daily lives of students. But a lot of times, like, I think mass incarceration is a really good example. That was something that almost no students, at least that I knew, really knew what that was, and now there's a heightened awareness on campus about that. And I think it helps, it really helps to further the justice pillar that we say that this is a college value, and so this is a huge way that I think students are able to engage with that, and the school is able to uphold that as something that we really value and care about.
Mm-hmm. I think that, can I add into that quick? I think that the value for our Gustavus students, not just, I mean, I think it ripples, so, you know, the student planners and then the people who are really making it happen, like intense opportunity experience, and then the students who go, phenomenal educational experience. But I even think it reaches out a bit to students who maybe for some odd reason don't choose to attend because the conversations on campus are richer. And then the other thing that I want to say is I was at a thing this summer where there were other deans of students from small colleges, and one of my colleagues from Iowa, one of the VPs for student affairs there, was talking about how he's blown away by the fact that we can sustain a student-led, student-run, student-initiated conference on social justice for so many years. So it's not just the Gustavus community that we're positively impacting. I mean, we have a name in the upper Midwest for the ability to do this. And from the very beginning, we've had other colleges that have come to attend and participate with us from, you know, even 20 years ago. So it's a big deal.
It's still your fault.
I yield. So I just wanted to say, like, as a senator who's attended the Building Bridges Conference for 3 years, every day of the conference is a life-changing event. And I don't say that lightly, but to go and have, you know, absolutely no knowledge of Native American issues, of mass incarceration, of environmental justice issues, and then to have your eyes open to this whole world of issues and justice and initiatives to make the world a better place is mind-blowing. So.
I yield.
Senator Blatch.
I just had a question about the resolution. If we were to pass this, would we have to renew this 1% every year, or is that gone for good?
Fully in firm.
I yield.
Senator Peterson.
I just had a quick question for Building Bridges. I'm in full support of this, but I was just curious, how many people attended the event last year?
Last year was about 800 people. The highest or the most attendance we've had is 1,200 people, and so we kind of bounce between those numbers from year to year, obviously hoping to increase that every year.
Co-President Goldstein.
So people have started touching on this. I just want to remind everyone what we're voting on is this resolution. So if you see any grammatical errors or things that could be made clear in it, please also point those out beyond the actual idea and intention behind it. Senator Rasmussen.
First, I have a couple questions. First, to whoever can answer it, if anybody can answer it, how many student orgs does Student Senate fund annually, like last year? Do we have that number by any chance?
It usually fluctuates. If you want to talk about who receives funding, not recognized student orgs, but who receives funding.
Mm-hmm.
I think last year, the spring finance process saw about 98 student organizations. So.
Okay. Next, maybe not a big deal in everybody's eyes, but I want to point out that given a 1% increase of the student activity fund would actually be a over 2% increase of student senate funds, because we only receive 90 or about 50%. So giving away another percent would actually be 2% of our funds, which may not be a big deal. But I don't know. I agree with letting this group off on their own. I think that's great. I think we should do that. My only concern is the 2% increase. That increases their funds by just over 44%.
I don't get the math.
Yeah. Maybe I'm doing
this wrong. If it's 49% of ours and we take away 1%, that's 2% of ours.
So 1% of the student activity fee is $4,000 roughly. Mm-hmm. and $4,000 out of what Senate receives is more like 2% of what Senate is receiving. I believe it's
2% of our funding.
Is the point he's making?
2% of the money Student Senate is allocated every year.
Because Student Senate
Student Senate gets.
Yeah. So Student Senate gets 49, we'll just say 50% of the student activity fee, half of the student activity fee. If we give away 1% of that 50%, that's.
Then you're down to 49%.
But it doesn't.
And CAB is down to 49%.
But that's 2% of Student Senate's funds, because if you're taking out a 50, so if you're making a...
But it would half come from CAB and half come from Senate.
Yes. It's 2% of Student Senate's money. If Student Senate has $50 and we give them one, that's 2% of 50.
Of 100.
Of 100, I'm sorry. It's
would it make more sense 2%. If we just talked about it in a... I mean, I get what you're saying, but... I feel like it makes more sense just as a dollar amount as the $4,000.
The only problem with that is that you can't do that because you don't know what the student enrollment is going to be in any given year. So you can't, so it doesn't really work to say.
But students,
I totally get what you're saying. He's saying that if a student activity fee is $100 and Senate is $50, 1% of the activity fee is $1. And so if Senate gives up 1% of the activity fee, we're giving up $1. But $1 of $50 is 2%, not 1%. So it's 2% of Senate's budget, but not the student activity.
I'm gonna trust you. I'm clearly not a mathematician.
Okay.
The piece that just doesn't make any sense to me is that you're taking 1% from Senate's budget and 1%
from... 1% of the student activity fee.
No. Well, Senate has more...
50%.
Senate has the largest chunk of the student activity.
Correct. 50%. 49.5, 50%.
Right.
So $1...
I'll trust your math.
So, giving away another percent of the student activity fee would be 2% of Student Senate's funds. And we allocate money to around 100 groups. I don't think there's very many groups on campus that ever get what they want. I mean, everybody could get more money if they wanted. I know there's so many organizations on campus that put on great speakers. I know Passover year comes in and they're never completely satisfied, at least in my history, of how much money they get. They're always wanting more. There's never enough money. And giving this 2% increase from their 4.5 math again is just over 44% increase in their funds, almost doubling their funds. And I understand that there's not, you want more, they need more. But it just seems like a lot to me to just jump almost 50%. And I don't know, that just concerns me. Maybe it's just me. So I'm not going to make a motion or anything, but if that resonates with anybody else, I encourage you to make a motion or keep that conversation going. I yield.
I think I'm a little unclear on how you get, it's a 44% increase of
budget. It's not a 44 increase in our budget. It would be maybe that from what we receive from Student Senate, but Student Senate is not the only source of our funds, as we talked about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, the money that we receive from Student Senate does not even meet the money that it costs to bring in the two largest speakers. So which means that the rest of that, again, all of our workshops, everything else that we do throughout the year is coming from outside funding. So this funding would really be helping us in securing those two speakers and being able to do the rest of what we do more effectively. I certainly understand, as I'm sure my colleagues do, your concern about other student groups. Speaking on behalf of Building Bridges, I think it is important to point out the impact that we have, not just for the people involved in our specific group, but that this is actually a conversation that takes place on the entire campus. And I think that that is unique for any student organization at Gustavus. I agree that there are some absolutely wonderful groups. I'm a part of some of those other groups as well that do really great work. but that building bridges is unique in the work and the impact and the reach that it receives. So a dollar, I would argue, that goes to building bridges goes farther than a dollar that goes to a lot of other groups. Again, not discounting the work that those groups do.
I want to speak to a couple of things that came to mind with this. Because of the environmental justice topic last year, Building Bridges maintains a great relationship with the Greens and the Divest movement. This year, because of the sexual violence topic, we are cultivating relations with the WAC, with Impact, groups like that to co-sponsor events. So, you know, part of our funding, while not necessarily student senate funding, goes to help further these events that might not otherwise be possible. Additionally, we are only asking for more money to meet the need of the speakers that we already bring in every year. What we're asking for will not cover, you know, bigger and better keynote speakers. It will meet the need of what we're already spending, if that makes sense. But that will give us a little leeway in other parts of our budget to make the conference bigger and to grow it that way.
And just to add, I would say that what Building Bridges does is unique compared to the other speakers or other events that are put on campus. I would compare us more to the big speaker that comes for CAB or that the concert CAB hosts. I think our event fits more on that comparison rather than comparisons of other events that student organizations bring in.
Senator Wagner.
I believe that what Building Bridges is doing is they need this amount of money, and I'll let you all
catch up.
Once the question is called, is it just a majority or is it a two-thirds?
If the question is called, given the financial nature of this, we will be following our bylaws that dictate financial votes. And so it'll be a two-thirds roll call
Okay. Since
it is over $5,000.
Thank you.
The question is on the motion to vote. So, all those in favor of ending debate and calling the question, this is a two-thirds vote, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay.
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 Thank you. All right. All those who would like to end debate and call the question, raise your placards high, please. Thank you. Lower them. And now the nays up in the air. Thank you. Any abstentions? All right. And that is a question called. So we will now institute a roll call vote, which requires two-thirds.
Miller?
Yeah.
Abstain.
Peterson.
Yay.
Wicklin.
Yay.
Gladish.
Abstain.
Getty.
Yay.
Karen.
Yay.
Palm.
Yay.
Coucher.
Yay.
Gunnigal.
Yay.
Siana.
Yay.
Ouch.
Yay.
Hey.
Yay.
Sing.
Yay.
Mayhem.
Yay.
Salve.
Yay.
Garash.
Yay.
Wagner.
Yay.
Edu.
Abstain.
And with the votes tallied, it is 18 in the affirmative, 3 abstentions, the resolution is passed.
I just want to say thank you. This process has been so easy, so transparent, and I just am really glad to have had that experience with Senate, and it's really important for me to express that to you guys. So thank you.
Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
All right. The floor is open for any other old business. Any other old business? Are there any chairs who would like to give an update? PR chair, sweet.
Everyone fill out the survey, I see. So get this order rolling. Thank you.
Any further old business? Old business? Old business? None. We'll move on to new business. Is there any new business? Senator Wicklund.
I have two things brought forth by my constituents. One is there is a beeping noise as either a garbage truck or snow removal outside of their rooms, specifically in Pittman and Surrey, at 7 in the morning, and they get woken up.
Yep,
and they would like that to not happen.
And the second thing,
the second thing is our school has a compost pile, a lot of compostable items, and only 2 places to put said compostable items. So it'd be nice to see places to put compost, like where we have gusty bird bins or something.
Are you?
I'd like to. Oh, okay. I motion to charge Student and Academic Affairs with looking into
health
and housing, with looking into the strange beeping noise at 7 in the morning outside of dorms.
Oh, for that one, I think.
Yeah,
that's not
that
chance.
One.
Academic
affairs might make more sense.
Academic affairs. Health and housing
might make more sense. So are you charging just the first one right now?
Just the first one right now.
You move to charge
Student Academic Affairs.
With looking into the timing of
the beeping noise. It's either garbage removal or snow removal or something that does the backup beeping thing.
Did they say that it's there for a really long time or just briefly?
Long enough to wake them up and keep them up.
That's not, it would be helpful if you knew if it was garbage or if it was snow removal. All
right. I don't know. But I can get to whatever committee is charged with it with time period.
Okay. Is there a second on the charge? Second goes ahead. Discussion on this charge. Goldstein.
Just to clarify why this one makes a lot of sense in student academic affairs is because even though it's happening at a dorm, it's probably something not relating to res life, which is kind of the expertise of health and housing. It's probably something more relating to physical plant, which our student academic affairs has worked more with physical plant than health and housing. Did I say that right now?
Mm-hmm. You said it right the first time.
Oh, I said it right. to clarify that, yeah.
Senator Meg.
I think this is really sensible. I think just look into it, and I feel that the committee can do it. Good enough job, let's just call the question. So I move to call the question.
Second goes to Miller. 2/3 vote and discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay.
Nay.
Abstentions. So question is called. All those
charge of student academic affairs to look into the beeping noises. Say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay.
Nay.
Division has been called. All those in favor of charging this to student academic affairs, raise your placards.
No.
No.
Jesus.
Sure.
Please raise your placards high. And lower them.
This might be our closest.
Those opposed,
up in
the air. All right. And any abstentions? Co-President Goldstein. You get to cast a ballot. For consistency sake, my decision on this is going to be yes, because just get to committee and let them decide. And I will now forever vote yes on anything that comes to me.
That's dangerous.
Okay. So sorry.
Created a monster, Taylor.
It is still your floor, Senator Wickland.
I now motion to charge health and housing with looking into getting more areas to put compostable items.
Is there a second? Second goes to Senator Sobey. Discussion on the charge.
Call the question.
Sobey, and he has called the question. Is there a second? Second goes to Miller. All those in favor of calling the question, two-thirds, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay.
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 Abstentions?
Division.
Division has been called. All those in favor, raise your placards high. Thank you. Lower them. Those opposed, up in the air. Abstentions? All right. Question is called. All those in favor of charging health and housing or moving into compostable sites, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay.
Nay.
Just a question. Would that also be a thing that finance should also, like, I feel like it's going to do a lot with, like, if we're going to be putting new compost around campus.
Not?
Not? Okay. This takes me off the list.
New business. Any other new business? New business, new business. Seeing none. Announcements. Chair Panzer.
Health and Housing Committee, we're going to have a brief meeting after this in here. After this meeting adjourns. Also, Campus Activities Board sent out a list of spring speaker candidates. They're really amazing list, so check them out and vote for your favorite one.
You've involved checking your email.
Yeah, email is not just Andrea does, so we sent you a single email earlier.
Chair Sweet.
Data's idea will be selling the neighborhood shirts. It'll be funny this year. Check them out. Buy one. I think they're $10. They are $10.
Yes.
Okay.
Senator Gustafson.
So, it's December, and something that happens in December is that Gustavus hosts a Santa Lucia Festival. We are very privileged to have one of the candidates as a member of the body, so I just encourage everyone to vote on that. I think if you got an email about it, just vote for me. Thank you.
Senator Singh?
I'd like to thank everyone for a nice, healthy discussion today. And if you see any of the people from Study Buddies, say thank you for the frustrations, because that was their stuff. So,
Co-President Goldstein. Just four quick things. One, you're all awesome. Thank you for a great discussion, echoing the previous speaker. Number two, we have one more meeting this semester. Please be here next Monday. Hopefully it'll be just as efficient as this one, and that way we can all get on to studies. Third,
I'm
going to
be here during finals week on Monday. Why don't all of you join me?
I mean, we could. Third, congratulations on finding that edit in the resolution, because I believe that exact same thing slipped through a Senate 3 years ago, if I recall correctly. So, good work. And then the fourth one, it's a busy time of year. Take some time for yourself. And don't get too stressed out about finals. And Chair Johnson.
send them to Rasmussen.
Okay. Cool. The hydration stations, everything's figured out, the locations, the money and everything. I really, really hope that we're going to get onto the floor next week to vote on, unless something goes wrong or we run another roadblock. So if you have any questions or concerns before that comes to the floor next week, contact me. Anything at all. That's it. Cool. Have a good week.
Chair Groshes.
Two quick things. Diversity committee, I'm not going to meet afterwards because you have other stuff, but I expect you to remember what you're tabling for. Also, I'm tabling tomorrow for International Abolition of Slavery Day, so if you're interested, come and check that out. Human Rights Day is next week, Wednesday. And then, also, Campus Activities Board is looking for a diversity and inclusion, I don't know the proper title, but it's one of their committee chairs, and their current committee chair resigned for the year, so they're looking for someone who the applications are still open. So if you're interested in that, having an exact position in the kind of secondary board, they're looking for someone.
Chair Johnson.
To the Student Academic Affairs Committee, both of these subcommittees, if you could stick around for just 5 minutes afterwards, just have a couple things to discuss.
Myself. So, I first wanted to say thank you. I thought the conversation was extremely respectful, and I thought it was very engaging, and I think we took the time to be very deliberate in thinking of our constituents and around the issue entirely, and I just thank you for your cooperation. We spent a lot of time trying to figure out what is the best way to do this process, and I'm really, really glad. I also just want to encourage you to talk to your constituents about it. Like, what just happened tonight was pretty cool, and is going to affect them for years to come, and all of Gustavus. And so feel free to share with your constituents and how great this meeting went. Two, you should know there's a Linus show before Midnight Express, and there will be a special event immediately following the show. You will see us tabling throughout from here until the show, and whoever is the winner, as in whoever has the most money in their jars with each of our faces, will be wrestling Jordan Weiss in a kiddie pool of some sort of food, possibly sour cream. And so keep an eye out for that. Third, I wanted to say I'm so glad that this was the first time, I think, since the beginning of the year that we have had full attendance. And so thank you for making your priorities. Thank you for being here. I very much appreciate it. Let's keep that rolling. Four, faculty reports are due very, very soon. And five, if you can make time, Christmas in Christ Chapel is pretty neat. I'm very excited for this year. Thank you all. Senator Wicklund.
A previous speaker, co-president, took a lot of my shameless plugs. So the sidewalks are icy. Stand dry, pay, stay safe. Don't break it. Stay healthy.
Senator Selway.
Shameless plug. I had an awesome Thanksgiving. I hope all you did as well. I ate way too much and I regretted it. But more importantly, finals are approaching. Don't binge on coffee and other drugs that will make you not do well on your finals. Don't do drugs, kids. Dare buddy says don't do drugs. And other than that, and speaking of drug-related news, on Monday next week, Minnesota House/Senate will be announcing the second medical marijuana grower for the state. And yeah. Legalization, 2K14. Also, Elizabeth Warren, 2K16. Here's my time.
Such trash.
I just wanted to go on the record that my student senate got a vote that deals with a pretty significant portion of our funding and student government fee funding through with flying colors, and then we went to the co-president to decide on a resolution about dealing with beeping. I would read the minutes just needs to understand that. But thank you all for. I was dreading tonight. I was dreading how the conversation was going to go. I lost sleep over it. I'm really glad it went the way it did. Thank you.
Senator Ray.
Question for the diversity chair. What is the, like,
what was the reason why this is the, is it, what was the awareness month or awareness day it is?
Today?
Yes.
Is World's Aid Day? Was World's Aid Day today? So I just, I've throughout the whole year, there's going to be certain things I'm going to be tabling.
Uh-huh.
The diversity committee is going to be tabling on, like, awareness issues.
Uh-huh.
And so, like, on February 14th, which is out there, they were going to be tabling about the cut flower industry, which
mm-hmm.
causes a lot of cancer and stuff because all our flowers come from Colombia and other places like that. So it's just to bring awareness to those kind of things. So in December happens to be a month that has a lot of impact on that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Jonas.
I just want all of you to know that I follow Hayden on Twitter, and and I'm really I've set a new goal for at the very beginning of the year during new student banquet. I set a goal for myself on how many Twitter followers I have, and then I met that goal. So now I have a new goal, and I would like to encourage all of you to consider following me. On Twitter. Jonas VH. Jonas underscore VH if you'd like to follow me on Twitter.
Hashtag.
Oh, thank goodness for the posterity. Rasmussen.
Yeah, I figured since everybody was thinking it'd be for a good discussion, and I figured I'd thank you guys for sticking with me through those numbers. I apologize for that. You guys are great.
All right. Any announcements? 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 Adjourned. Thank you all. So, I like your sweater.
I don't think we've had an hour all year.
My friend's transferring over there in the spring.
Yeah, you know, I'm sad because one of my Alabama shirts got ripped.
Bam!
Dude, roll tide! Roll tide!
Yes. You're an Alabama fan? You're wearing Alabama? Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, what the SEC does doesn't really impact the Big Ten. Big Ten is shit football in comparison to the SEC master. Oh, come on. When's the last time a Big Ten team beat the SEC? That was good.